Welcome to the Consecrating Your Life podcast, hosted by me, Elena Aburto, and my mom, Reina Aburto. Today we talk about why we have YSA wards, how I've been blessed by attending these types of wards, and just some things that we would love for young single adults to hear. We hope you enjoy this episode. Today we wanted to talk about why young single adult wards exist. So we believe that the reason that these wards exist is the same reason that any other kind of ward exists. It's to help people get closer to Christ and to get closer to other people. So like you said, you were telling me earlier that it's to follow the two great commandments.
In a way, yes. Yeah. But the thing is that we also need to remember why the church exists, you know. And we can read that in the General Handbook, section 1-3. It says that Jesus Christ established his church to enable individuals and families to assist God in fulfilling his work of salvation and exaltation. And then, you know, the church and its leaders provide like priesthood authority and keys, covenants and ordinances, prophetic direction, scriptures, gospel learning and teaching support, service and leadership opportunities, and a community of saints. And if you think about it, that's what we receive when we go to a ward. Mm-hmm. I remember that I think it was President Hinckley that said years ago that the fullness of the gospel is lived in a ward. That's where we receive everything that we need. Mm-hmm. And we have the keys that we need for everything in there. So really in a ward, every ward of the church, doesn't matter what kind of ward it is, mm-hmm. is there to help us access the fullness of the gospel.
Yes. Love that.
Or to live it, actually, you know, to live it. Mm-hmm.
So on Instagram, I asked like how you guys have been blessed by participating in a YSA ward. And my friends responded. So my friend Lily said, it helped me adjust when returning home from my mission. Keziah said, it's been truly inspiring seeing this generation and how we were truly meant to become leaders in Christ. And my friend Jeanette says, I made friends my age. Mm. And I agree with all of that. I feel like all the friends that I have right now, like most of them, I met them through the YSA ward, which has really blessed my life a lot. And I guess we also need to talk about why these wards don't exist just to get married, just mm-hmm. to help people get married. I mean, obviously that is a perk, but that is not the purpose of the ward. So my thoughts about this are, there are people in YSA wards who have been divorced or are LGBTQ or they've been abused by a significant other. So in other words, like they are single for different reasons. And we can't act like marriage is the answer to all of our problems. Mm. Christ is the answer to all of our problems. Marriage is not. So that's why I feel like it's really important to just straight up say it's not necessarily about getting married. That is not the reason that these words exist.
Yes. And of course, marriage is a worthy desire, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's part of the plan of happiness and of salvation. But at the same time, if we go to church just because we want to get married, then we are there for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is also that if you don't find someone, you know, within some time frame, then you feel like you don't belong there.
Right.
Which I have heard that. And that makes me sad to think that people will go to church just to get married mm-hmm. or to find someone. I think it's a reasonable and righteous desire, but I don't think that should be the reason why we go to church.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, if you're a leader in a YSA ward, like, I mean, one that's already married, I just invite you to really be careful about what you say when you talk about marriage, because sometimes marriage is talked about in a way that makes us single people feel like we are failures since mm-hmm. we haven't gotten married yet. When in reality, we just haven't found the right person yet.
Yes.
Or there could be a million other reasons why we're single, you know? So it's just, that's why I also wanted to talk about it. Because it's like, we just need to be more aware and more inclusive in our language and things like that.
Yes, I agree with that. LDS Living just published an article that I happened to have written, a few weeks ago, and in which I gave some advice on how to help people who are single feel part of the church, no matter where they are. Mm-hmm. And to understand that, people from different walks of life, they have different experiences and they can contribute to the work of salvation and exaltation. Mm-hmm. And we need to see them as active participants, no matter what their circumstances are. So some of the things that I included in that article, if I can read it here, because it has already been published, is that if you were raised by a single parent or have been a single parent, mention that fact as you share your faith story. As you do this, others in similar situations will realize that they are not alone and may get the courage to share their own story. Yeah, sometimes when people have gone through a divorce or, they haven't found that significant other, sometimes they may feel like they don't belong, like I said before. And by sharing our stories, then people realize that others have similar stories, and mm-hmm. then they feel like part of the community of saints.
Yes.
I also say here, be mindful of the different life circumstances in which others may find themselves, and try to include them in your talks, lessons, comments, and interactions. And we had an episode about this, right?
Yes. Yeah.
How to be more inclusive. But I think it's important, like you said, if you are a leader in a YSA world, to be careful and to be conscious and mindful of the things that you say, because maybe you may be hurting someone. Maybe you're not doing it intentionally, but maybe we are hurting someone, because maybe I'm doing it too. But just to be mindful, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just to give a practical example, if you're going to talk about your children and how they are the biggest blessing or the biggest success of your life, nobody in the YSA world is going to relate to you when you say that. And don't get me wrong, it's beautiful that you feel that way. You can feel that way in private, but over the pulpit, you should talk about how everyone can help the rising generation, and everyone can be motherly or fatherly, even if you don't have your own children yet, mm-hmm. Things like that.
Yeah, in reality, we are all helping raise each other, yes. Right? Even no matter how old we are raising each other.
Yes.
So we can always help someone to be better and to grow and to get closer to the Savior. That should be our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in fact, in that article that I just mentioned, I said something like, if you have been blessed by a family that is closer to the ideal, avoid giving thanks in public in a way that may hurt others in different circumstances. For example, consider avoiding words that put two parent families on a pedestal. Again, and this is something that President Ballard said, that most of the adults in the church are single.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the church membership all over the world, the majority of adult members are single. And so probably we need to start just thinking about that, and to pray and to try to be more inclusive and more compassionate and sensitive,
yes,
to how other people may feel.
Yeah, I guess in addition to that, like you said earlier, marriage is of course a really righteous desire to have. So I think we can talk about it, but I would say if you're going to talk about it, talk about the things that we can control. So, for example, I can choose to be Christ-like when I'm on a date with a boy. And I can't control whether that boy and I are going to be a good fit and we're going to get married soon. But I can choose, how I'm going to act. And I'm mm-hmm. going to choose to be, I would hope to be selfless and to try to show him a good time instead of just looking for what I can get out of it. But yeah, that's just an example of mm-hmm. don't make us feel bad for not being married yet.
Well, everybody knows,
Yeah, we all know.
Yes, but the thing is that I think that no matter where we are, as disciples of Christ, we should try to minister to each other at all times. It doesn't matter if the other person is a member of the church or not. It doesn't matter where you are. We should just try to look at other people like God sees them and try to love them. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard that there are two kinds of people, you know, the people that we love and the people that we are learning to love.
Yes.
And we can always learn to love others, no matter what. So I think that if we focus on that, which is, you know, the second great commandment, then our life will be happier and easier, and we can also bring joy to others. Mm-hmm. And especially if we are trying to minister to them with the purpose of bringing them to Christ, then our joy will be even bigger, and we'll feel more connected to God and to other people. So I think that we should just need to focus on doing that. And then if you find someone with whom you can get married, well, that's great. But I don't think that should be the focus, because then we can simply get frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like that's how, just by ministering and by making ministering a lifestyle, really, in trying to serve anyone, I feel like that's how I've been able to make friends through these words, because I don't, as much as I so badly wish I could just sit and wait for somebody to come talk to me and be my friend, it just doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. And so I usually, like, even though I have social anxiety and I really don't like having to talk to new people and stuff, like, I have put it upon myself to talk to people and to see who needs a friend, and that's how I've been able to make friends in my wards.
Yes, that's a good way of doing it. And it really applies everywhere we are, you know, in our job, in our community, even, I don't know, on the street and the supermarket, wherever we are, just focusing on trying to help other people feel the love of God through us.
Yeah.
And I think that should be the purpose for us going to church, is to get closer to the Savior and to our Heavenly Father, and help others get closer to them. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, imagine if everybody in our congregations went to church with that purpose, to help others feel closer to God, then nobody will feel like they don't belong. Mm-hmm. Because we will all be trying to help each other feel like part of that beautiful community of saints that we belong to, because we do belong there, because we are children of God and we are had made covenants, and we are loved and we are needed. Every one of us is needed in the work of salvation and exaltation.
Yes. Wait, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So when you were in the Relief Society General Presidency, you got to visit all kinds of wards.
Yes.
I mean, I noticed that you seem to enjoy YSA wards more than the others. And why is that?
Well, I actually enjoyed all of them. But I think I have a special kind of love and appreciation for the rising generation of the church. I honestly, and I say this with from the bottom of my heart, I believe in our young people. Mm-hmm. I believe in them. They have been brought to this earth during a special time with special gifts, spiritual gifts that they have received from heaven, but also gifts that they can develop. And I admire your generation, because you are more open, you are very compassionate, and you look at things in a different way, you know, than previous generations. And I believe that you are really important and needed in preparing the earth for the second coming of the Savior. Mm-hmm. And every time I have been, you know, in those words, every time I have the chance to be with your friends and to be with young people, I can feel that power. Mm-hmm. I can feel that faith and that desire to do things the right way. And I know that there is a lot of opposition out there in many ways, but I do have faith in your generation. And I don't like it when some people will say things like, the young people of the church are the future of the church. I do believe that you are the future, but I also believe that you are the present. Mm-hmm. You are present, and you are already leaders. Many of you have been YSA counselors. Many of you have been missionaries. Many of you are ministering brothers and sisters, and you help your friends. Many of you are having callings, in different kinds of callings in your words. And all of you are disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. So you have that divine nature in you. And I know that the Lord is preparing you for great things. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Lord is always preparing us for something. You know, now I can say that because I'm older, I know. Yeah. And when I look back at my life, I realize that every single thing that happened, even the things that were not pleasant maybe, or things that were hard, helped shape me. Mm-hmm. They helped make me a more compassionate person, a more empathetic person, a more sensitive person towards others. And so just believe that God is preparing you for something.
Yes.
Even if it's a hard time right now, if you're going through a hard time, try to realize that no matter how dark it may seem, there is always light. The Savior is always there. And you have his love, and he's always trying to help you. And eventually you will be able to see that light and feel that love, even if you don't do it right now.
Yes. Just some thoughts that I have about how amazing young people are. Joseph and Emma Smith were in their 20s when the church was restored.
Mm-hmm. And also Oliver Cowdery.
Yeah, I mean, several of them were...
Just all of them, yeah.
Young adults.
Even the guy that helped with the printing. He was not a member of the church, but he was very young also.
Yes. And I mean, that alone, like, tells me how much potential we have.
Yes.
To, I don't even know, to just share the gospel and to be a light. Something also that came to my mind was... I mean, I go to therapy every once in a while, and I remember one time I went to therapy, and I don't even remember what I was freaking out about at the time. I think I was just really stressed about my future and not knowing, like, what decisions to make or something like that. Because I'm a young person, when we all have to go through those mm-hmm. questions. And my therapist told me, you should be excited about this, though, about not knowing what your life is going to be like. Because he's like, I mean, he's older than me. He's been practicing therapy for a long time. And he's like, I already know what the rest of my life is going to look like. I'm going to be doing this. Like, but you don't know. And that's really exciting. Yes. That you haven't, like, figured it out yet. And you yeah. get to figure it out.
Yes.
Which, I mean, he's right. I wish that I had their perspective, because more often than not, I'm just like, what am I going to do with my life? Yes. Like, I just graduated with my master's, and I still don't know what I'm yeah. going to do.
Well, you won't know.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is that sometimes we think that our life is going to be a certain way, but it really is never what yes. we thought. And we just have to live life with faith, you know. Of course, be doing the things that we need to be doing to prepare ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, get as much education as we can. Try to follow the commandments, try to make friends, and try to do the things that, good things in our life. Like Elder Bednar always says, just be a good boy and a good girl and move forward, and the Lord will bless you. Mm-hmm. But you will never really know. No one knows.
Yeah.
And also don't stress about it, because you will never know yeah, how your true. Life is going to be.
Yeah.
So just do your best, I will say, to all the young people that are listening. Do your best and have faith. And surround yourself also with people that help you be a better person. Mm-hmm. And try to help others to be a better person by following Christ. And then everything else will fall into place. So don't stress about things that you don't have control over.
Oh my gosh.
It's easy to say for me now that yeah. I'm older, but still I think that it doesn't help to stress too much, because then we lose sight and we right. don't enjoy.
I mean, in my present. Defense, I have anxiety, so stressing is not a choice. Like, but But no, yeah, I mean, I get it. That's why I go to therapy sometimes. Okay, another question for you. Because, I mean, obviously, even though marriage is not the reason that these words exist, it is still, dating is obviously still part of the YSA words.
It has to be.
Yeah, it kind of has to be. What would you say to people who aren't willing to date within their YSA word? Because, I mean, I've heard excuses like it creates drama, or like, what if it doesn't work out and it becomes awkward? Like, I don't know. What would you say to those people?
I think that we need to take the risk. I think that if God gives us opportunities to connect with someone, and if we are feeling something, we need to follow those promptings and forget about the rest. You don't know what is going to happen in the future. I mean, if it works out and you get married with that person, then it's going to be worth it. If not, you gained experience. Mm-hmm. And hopefully even a friend. And because we should base, I think, all relationships that we have with each other, they need to be based on friendship. Mm-hmm. They cannot just be based on, I don't know, physical attraction or whatever you call it. They have to be based on friendship. Mm-hmm. And why not? You're making friends. And I think that we cannot afford to miss opportunities. Life is about opportunities. The Lord gives us opportunities every day to get closer to Him, to help other people. And we just need to try and see what's going to happen. And there is nothing to lose, I think. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's easy for me to say this, right?
Yeah, you... I mean, you've been married for like 30 years.
Yes. So. But still, I think that we should base every relationship on friendship. Because even when you get married, you have to be friends.
Yeah.
You have to.
So I know I'm kind of wired differently than some people. But for me personally, if I like somebody, and if they happen to be in the ward... Like, nothing is going to give me more anxiety than not trying and not knowing.
Yeah.
Like, that actually stresses me out more, is the not knowing. And so I would rather try and have it, like, quote unquote, fail than not try at all.
Yes, which is not really a failure.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out, and you just move on and do something else. Yeah. It's that easy, right? No, it's not that easy. I know. I'm aware of that.
No, yeah. I mean, I know. I don't consider anything to actually be a failure, because like, it's just getting me closer. It's giving me experience. Like you said, it's giving me closer to the person that I actually will end up marrying and stuff.
Yes.
I mean, just to give like a concrete example, one time, let's just say I went on a date with a guy in my ward, and I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but I knew it was going to be fun. And to this day, like, if anybody asks me what, like, a funny date story is, that's the story that I tell. Mm-hmm. And so it was worth it just for the story.
Yes. Yes, at least you have stories to tell.
Exactly. It makes that's me more interesting as a person.
And then when you go to, as a host in a podcast, you can tell those stories.
Yes. That's a story for a different day. But, yeah, overall... I'm just so grateful for the YSA awards and what they have given me and what I have been able to do in serving in them and stuff. And I really like, do you want to share what Sister Eubank said about like waiting upon the Lord?
Yes. Well, my friend Sharon Eubank, who is my great friend, we happened to serve together, you know, in the Relief Society General Presidency. We are the same age, actually. We were born the same month and the same year. Mm-hmm. I always tell her that she's my twin. She has never been married, but she's an amazing woman. She has done so much. Oh,
she's like the coolest person I've ever met in my life.
And she has been able to do so much around the world and help so many people and connect with people. And she has a gift for that. And she has said that when we are waiting for a blessing from the Lord, we find ourselves in a sacred place. Mm-hmm. We are not really in a waiting room, like, you know, when you're waiting to be seen by a doctor, that is kind of boring. No, you are in a sacred place, And the Lord will give you opportunities to grow and to connect and to be an instrument in His hand, and you just need to take those opportunities. So mm-hmm. it's not that you are just waiting. We cannot just be waiting. Mm-hmm. We need to keep living, because in reality, we are all waiting for something. You know, the fact that I'm married doesn't mean that I'm not waiting for some blessings in my life. I'm waiting for some blessings. Mm-hmm. Of course, they are different, but again, being in that waiting place is sacred. And that's the way we need to look at it. And it's also an opportunity to grow and to be someone who is looking for ways to bring people to Christ.
Yes. Just another reason that these words exist is because we all have, even though we are all different, we're just in a similar stage of life. And that's why it is so easy to like make friends in those words. Yes. I would also just invite you, though, to, like, if you're in a YSA ward, to not make judgments about who could become your friend and who couldn't. Because sometimes I see people, like, judge others based because they were, like, way younger than them or I don't know. And it's, like, I feel like we just need to be more open.
Yes.
About, like, who... Because you just never know who you can connect with.
No.
I don't know.
And age is not a factor.
Yeah.
You know? And we should not judge. We should not write people off mm-hmm. just because we have some impression or something about somebody. Yeah, I agree with that. And then we have to think about the fact that YSA wards in the church exist in places where they have a big concentration of young people who are single, who are not married yet. And that happens to be in places where there are universities or where the church has a big presence, but they don't really exist everywhere. And everywhere where there is not a YSA ward, well, everyone just goes to their geographic wards, and they are needed there, and they have callings, and they help in everything they can mm-hmm. With the work of salvation and exaltation. And that's the same way it should be in a YSA ward. We are there to, like we said in the beginning, to get closer to Christ and to help each other.
Yes. And I guess also, just like in any other ward, I think it works better, like the ward works better if people serve without necessarily being told to. Mm-hmm. And I also would like say that it's really important for the young adults to take charge and to have a voice. So, I mean, yeah, obviously there are a few older married leaders in the ward, but like, I think the ward really belongs to the young adults, and it's just important to take charge.
Yes. To accept callings and to serve.
Yeah, exactly.
And even if you don't have a calling, you can still minister to everyone and support mm-hmm. the work and support the leaders.
Yes.
And help with missionary work and help mm-hmm. with family history or do your family history. You know, there are so many things that we can do. Do service projects. Mm-hmm. And again, also, I think that we should not just wait for our leaders to do things also.
Right.
We can take the initiative and we can organize service projects and we can go and minister to someone, even if that person is not assigned to us. And we can just be more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And truly try to be a better disciple of Christ. I think we are all in that trying to do that, you know, trying to be better disciples of Christ.
Mm-hmm. With all of this in mind, what does this topic have to do with consecrating our lives to the Savior, Jesus Christ?
I will say that no matter what our circumstances are, each of us is special. Each of us is unique. And we all have gifts, talents, spiritual gifts that we have received from heaven and that we can develop. And each of us is needed in the work of the Lord. And so no matter our circumstances, we can all be more proactive in being kind to each other and in helping other people get closer to Christ. So I would just say, wherever you are, whoever you are, there is a place for you. You are needed. You belong. And the Lord loves you.
I take so much comfort in seeing examples of young people. I mean, like we mentioned, Joseph and Emma, and the Savior only lived to be like 33 years old. Mm-hmm. And just how amazing young people are, and how often we forget that, though. Mm-hmm. I definitely forget that, like, daily. I mean, in serving the Lord and really trying my best, I've been able to have joy in my life, which is really meaningful to me, because since I have mental health struggles, it is really difficult for me to be happy. But I'm just so grateful, yeah, again, like I said before, for YSA Awards and the opportunity that they've given me to serve and to meet people my age and to become friends and to meet people that are like me, that are really just trying to be like Christ, and have been really good influences on me because of that. And so, yeah, I'm so grateful that these awards exist. And I just hope that we can all be there for the right reasons. Yes. And
enjoy your singleness, yes, together.
Yes, it is an exciting time, because the uncertainty can be exciting.
Yes. It's an adventure.
Yes. Thanks so much for listening. We love you. We hope you feel free to share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear it. And follow us on Instagram or Facebook @ConsecratingPod. We love hearing from you. And we hope to see you next time.